Does anybody have any response to what we studied yesterday? Well, first of all, remember the essence of the Christian faith, the symbols of the Christian faith, are the lamb, the bread, and the wine. All of them come from Passover. There's really, the symbol is only the lamb, because the flesh of the lamb is the afkamen, the communion. The blood of the lamb is the wine. And so there's really only the lamb. But the essence of the mystery of Christianity is in the Passover. And so that's why it's so critical to understand that the Passover sacrifice itself, it could not be killed with the purpose of eating it. In other words, you cannot use the gospel for the purpose of benefiting you in any way. Now, this is the mystery that of Christianity that has been lost. And so, therefore, we have all of the self-centered, self-seeking ideas of religion. But there's no greater deception, both in externally to us and internally to us, that we should benefit somehow from being in Christ or with Christ or Christ as our Savior. You don't even benefit with regard to the word Savior, because Savior implies that he's going to save your life. And you can't come to him unless you have died to yourself. You can come and then you go. You keep running around visiting Babylon and the world and stuff, but you don't stay centered in him. And the test is, on a second-by-second, day-to-day basis, whether or not you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and in all your might. We've talked so often that the idea of love, oh yeah, everybody says, oh yeah, I love God. But that's not true. Because the word love, remember, is the verb. And what we see, a verb is a word that has to have action. And the love of God is the action of Passover. The love of God, and the love of God only, is the revelation of Christ. Everybody says they love God. You can ask people all over the world in every religion, oh yeah, I love God. Come back, little Sheba. You back? But do you love God? Isaiah said, this people draweth near me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What is your heart? The heart is your thinking. That's what it's implied here. All the law and all the prophets are fulfilled. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. There is only one that can love the Lord thy God with all his heart, and that is Christ. That's why he is the essence of the gospel, the subject of the gospel, the meat of the gospel, the action of the gospel. You're not in the picture. You want to get in the picture? Then you have to leave the gospel behind. There's no negotiating it. That's the mystery and meaning of Passover. You want to partake of the new life, the new order, the new genus, the new kind, then you have to leave all of you behind. If you don't want to, that's fine. I don't care. It's your business.
I just saw a trick of the Antichrist is to make you feel like you're not subject to that death as long as you personally are loving the Lord your God with all of you, as long as you're doing it. And if you're doing it with all your strength and might, then you don't have to go to the cross.
But you can't do it. Right. Because your mind will daily... Remember, the word love is a verb there. It's agapeo.
I think your mind condemns you.
The word love is not... Your mind doesn't condemn you if your heart, your conscience is seared. Love is a verb. Agapeo. It's a common, ordinary word in the Greek language, in the ancient Greek. It means what you give importance to. Agape, the noun, was coined specifically by the New Testament writers for the mystery of the love of God. The love without reference to self in any way. And it's never used negatively in the Scriptures, ever. But the love as a verb is used negatively. What do men love? You love darkness more than light. You love the highest seats. You love the esteem of men. You love the respect of people. You love, all of those are the word love, agapeo, as the verb. And it's you can't love God and love these things. And the test of it is when anything happens that you don't like, where does your mind go? Well, your mind goes the same place everyone else, and if without repentance, you the love of God is gone forever. Not forever, you can repent back to it. Let's look at some of the things that the Scriptures say that you love as a verb. John 3 says that you love darkness more than light. You love agapeo, the praise of men. You love the uppermost seats. You love the world. You love those that love you. And that's the basis of human relationships. You always think you love because you see something in the other person that fulfills you. If it's pure animal instinct, then you see the opposite sex, I hope. But it doesn't matter. I mean, there's no such... Do you understand that homosexuality is no greater sin than lying? It's no greater sin than wanting the respect of men? It's all of you, whether it doesn't matter about your sexual proclivity, all of you has to go to the cross. But what do when we grow up? We think we love somebody. What attracts us? What attracts us is something that we think will fulfill us. So the love, by definition, is stergo. It's self-seeking because it fulfills something about us. Oh, I can't live without... I remember the puppy love crap when I was a kid. Everybody went through it. Some of you still are. Oh. I'm pining. Don't say it. I'm pining away for somebody that I met, some image that I have in my mind for some person that's way back. All right, we're not doing that anymore, though, are we, Gary? All the law and all the prophets are fulfilled at Pentecost. And therefore, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That means giving breath only, giving importance only to Him, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Let's go to Luke 16. Jesus has just done this thing about the parable of the dishonest steward, which we're not going to go into. But in verse 13, he says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now remember, serve here, you might as well say love. You cannot serve God, you cannot love God, and love what you and serve or have confidence in what you have previously had confidence in. The cross of Christ cuts across all mammon because it kills you. So you can't serve God and what mammon really is. Modern people say it means it's riches. You know, it means riches. We can't serve God and money. Well, that's crap. It means things that you have confidence in, which could be money. But that's not what I want to talk about. "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The word highly esteemed is a Greek word that is a companion word for the verb for love. It's not the same word, but it's similar. It's what you give high importance to. Now, what are you giving high importance to on a day-to-day, second-by-second basis? For most people, they give high importance to what they do because their identity is locked in to their doing. And they justify it, if they happen to be Christians, by saying, well, it says, whatever I do in thought, word, and deed, do mightily or heartily as unto the Lord. And so I've got to do. No. It's just another way of saying that what you do isn't your business. It's the results of what you do isn't your business. If you're doing something as unto the Lord, then people's response to you is meaningless. If you're doing it as unto men, then that's the food that you're eating. You gain sustenance and satisfaction from a job well done, and all the other ridiculous cliches of the human race. And what happens if you don't do the job well? Well, if you've done it unto the Lord, it won't affect you any more than if you've done it well. If you're doing it unto the Lord, what you do will not ever be affected by someone's response to you. Now this is where the tire meets the road. Think of at the crucifixion, think of what the response of the people was to Christ. They mocked him. They blindfolded him, and the Roman guards, or the guards, the temple guards, walked in front of him and asked him to identify them, to prove that he was God to them. The people said, "Aha, you can't even save yourself. You're supposed to be my Savior." if he ever operated on the basis of what was highly esteemed among men, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. He would have called down the 10,000 angels. And he didn't die for you. He died, it's the word for, it's Hooper. He died and suffered instead of you for what you deserve. Everything about Christianity is centered on this passage. And you have to feel the urgency, or this Passover will be meaningless. Remember the four spiritual laws and the big gap between you and God, and the cross is the bridge where you walk over. Well, that's as much garbage as the rest of it. You don't walk over, you fall into the gap and die, and only He walks over. Now, what time are the tonight? I hope, if I'm able, we're gonna talk about this thing we've done, used to do all the time, and that's the medical description of Christ's death. It's one of the things that this document that we have is one of the things that Mel Gibson used for the Passion. And then on Friday and Saturday, I mean, we know what happens Friday, the thing that we should ignore, but on Saturday, we meet at what time? 1? We meet at 1 o'clock for the destruction of leaven. And remember the leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees. Did you have anything in you that isn't revealed outward? The leaven of Herod. Do you see lack in any part of your life? The leaven of the Sadducees. Do you doubt the resurrection? Or, in other words, doubt his ability to handle anything that's in your life? The scriptures say if you eat the Passover with leaven, you are what? Anybody remember? Says you are anathema. Now, because of the mercy of God, all of us have eaten the Passover with leaven, but He hasn't wiped us out because His long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. The whole process of the Passover says that you can't have anything against anyone and eat the Passover. In other words, if you haven't forgiven from the heart, everyone, their trespasses, or your perceived trespasses against you, then if you eat the Passover, it's anathema. You will be cut off from the people. Again, all of us have eaten the Passover with something secret against somebody. But again, His long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, is still his mercy is overriding His justice. But one day soon His justice is going to rise up. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be Saturday. If His justice rises up and you have something you haven't forgiven or you have contained leaven, then you are a spot and a wrinkle on the body of Christ. You have the wrong garment on. So this time is always a time of urgency. That's the meaning of the feast. So we are never seduced by dispensationalism, that we have time to do these things. You've got to have the urgency that if you have something against someone, that it's spoken. Now, it's not your business. Forgiveness is your business. Reconciliation is God's business. If you are seeking forgiveness or seeking to be forgiven and your response to it is dependent on their response to you, then you're... I don't know what you are, but you're not obedient. You're not loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's why it says, not many of you should be teachers, because in many things you will offend everyone. What? Now you're smiling again.
Who's
Gary.
I saw something clear that I've never seen in my life about loving God and man this morning. It's a what is, because you can't love God unless you're dead to self. And if you're dead to self, you don't care about man. So, I mean, it's built into the system, the reality.
Every part of the gospel is a what is, not a how to.
Yeah.
That's why if you ever hear from the word, from my mouth or anybody else's, that they're telling you what to do about something, then you've heard incorrectly. Because you can never tell somebody what to do, you can only tell someone who they are in Christ. Now that's become a cliche, but the idea of it is always true. I told that to somebody and they said, well, that's all they did in my church, is tell me what to do. Well, maybe you're in the wrong place if you see that. Maybe this is the wrong place if you don't see it. Anybody have any thoughts about leaven or forgiveness, or loving God or mammon, or any of the things we've talked about? Everybody understand perfectly. So just because somebody isn't acting the way they think you think they should, you're not going to get all bent out of shape, right?
Not as much as I
wish. I thought you were the good Levite.
You're getting closer.
I have my mom.
And then you go pout, right? No, see, I remember I'm your roommate. You go pout. It's 3 or 4 days. Well, I'm going to try to be active in Passover for the first time in a long time. So this, if anybody doesn't know it, we're having 4 Seder groups. And I'm going to have one with most of the visitors. And except I've got to have also, so I don't know how this happened, but Harry and John and Carolyn are going to be there too. But we're going to meet in our living room. But
we're going to sacrifice the bird.
This bird better be out of there, or it will be sacrificed. Huh? Anybody have any? Everybody ready to go to? We got everybody at 8:30 meet in the back to put the tent up, right? We have a window of opportunity today to get everything waterproofed. So, is anybody that can't do it? You can't?
I'll be there late and I have to take time to school.
That's right. All righty, take it, big guy.